As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Weston Oakes, author of SEAL Team 666 and Age of Blood, a SEAL Team 666 novel. And the night that we're recording this, The Hollywood Reporter just announced that that Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be starring in a movie of SEAL Team 666. And I should add, Weston recently returned from a tour of duty in Afghanistan. We've been trying to schedule this interview for a while, and now we're finally making it happen. Weston, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure. Well, can you read the first couple of pages of your novel, Age of Blood, a SEAL Team 666 novel?
Sure. I'll start at chapter one. Let me apologize first. I'm a writer, not a reader, so if I go too fast, I apologize. So, Chapter 1, New Orleans Cemetery, Night. That'll leave a mark with spray painted in garish day-glow pink across the front of a 17th century headstone. The out-of-the-way and run-down cemetery was the perfect setting for a horror movie. The ambience was complete with Spanish moss, hung ancient trees, low-ground fog, above-ground crypts crouching like intruders, enamel with statues that could be shrines of the elder gods, and the total absence of sound, except for a tinkling of zydeco on the extreme edge of hearing. And the characters, the complimented characters, inclusive of the astonishingly believable voodoo queen, were as terrifying as they were fantastic. So, Chief Petty Officer Jack Walker was pretty pleased with himself that he had made his observation while perched high in a tree far away from the action and armed with a sniper rifle. Only this wasn't a movie. Through his scope, Walker watched as voodoo queen Madame LeBoy stood imperiously on the raised sarcophagus behind a wall of bulletproof glass, her arms outstretched as if she were the puppeteer for the vast array of undead, which were even now pulling themselves upright from where they lay on the ground. More than a dozen naked zombies clawed their way to their feet, their jerky movements as they tried to operate their dead limbs, increasing the creep factor tenfold. Some of them still had Y incisions from medical students in expert autopsies. Others were fresher, their mortal wounds still weeping fluid, their expressions full of surprise, as if they just figured out that they were no longer alive. Walker swung the long barrel of the Stoner SR-25 sniper rifle back and forth as he continued observing the scene through the Leopold Mark IV scope. The other four members of SEAL Team 666 huddled in the middle of the cemetery. Holmes, Laz, Yaya, and the new guy, Yank, stood roughly back to black. They wore body armor, including Kevlar forearm pads, Kevlar gloves, and Kevlar shin guards. They each held a slender 2-foot metal baton in one hand and a marine K-bar in the other. Their heads were completely covered with metal helmets, depriving them of sight, sound, and smell. If they were to survive, it would be by touch alone. The zombies were pretty much as Walker expected, shamblers like sailors after a 48-hour drinking jag in Bilibago, Philippines. Several bumped into crypts and were redirected. Walker's gaze was drawn back to Madame LeBoy as she started to sing something in low, guttural French. A mishmash of red and purple satin covered her matronly figure. Her graying hair was piled high and infused with copper coils. Enough of her beauty remained that she could still command a room's attention, not to mention the pantheon of the undead in her southern Gothic cemetery. There you go.
Great. Well, the title is very revealing, but nonetheless, can you explain the SEAL Team 666 concept for someone who hasn't read the two novels yet?
Well, sure. I mean, everybody's heard of SEAL teams now. I mean, SEAL teams are as famous as mom and apple pie. But the idea of SEAL Team 666 is that we have a even more special SEAL team that protects America from supernatural attack.
Great. And do you remember, was there a particular light bulb moment for you when you first thought of the concept for SEAL Team 666?
Well, it was you know, the editors at St. Martin's Press, at Thomas Dunn Books, actually, and I had wanted to work together for a while. And we've known each other. We both respected each other's body of work, and we came up with this idea of this special SEAL team really shortly after Bin Laden was captured and taken out by the real SEAL Team 6 dev group. That kind of inspired the idea, well, what if there was more to it? What if there was possibly supernatural involved? And then, you know, a lot of the escapist fiction in me came through, and I was asked to pitch a plot and an outline. So I came up with an outline for the first book and the characters, and there you go.
And what was the writing like for the first two books? Did they flow smoothly, or did it take some effort to get the idea and concept right?
Well, it's funny because they're my 10th and 11th novels. And I've written science fiction. I've written romance. I've written straight thriller. I've written dark fantasy. My first novel, a dark fantasy novel, won the Bram Stoker Award. So I thought it was a horror novel until a publisher said, "No, Wes, it's a dark fantasy novel. You're a dark fantasy novelist." I said, "Oh, okay. I'm a dark fantasy novelist." But yeah, I prefer to write in whatever genre I kind of want to write, which is not usual, I guess. So it was kind of different at first, because there I was writing this military supernatural thriller fiction, which is sort of a new genre, trying to meld all those together. And although I have 29 years of military experience, I hadn't really delved into that great warehouse of knowledge that I have about the military until now. So it was at once difficult and refreshing, because I was able to tap into some of the things I had never tapped into before in any of my other writing.
That's interesting. And I'm curious about that, because a lot of times, you know, you hear the phrase, write what you know. Was it a conscious decision on your part when you started writing to not draw on the military background, and you know, what was that like, or was it just, you know?
No, it was a conscious decision, and I agree with write what you know, and I was writing what I know. I mean, Jeff, I've been to 54 countries. I've lived in a lot of places. I know a lot, you know. Like the kid who wrote Aragon, I have no idea how he wrote that. He was 16 years old. I mean, to me, that's probably the greatest work of fiction ever made by a 16-year-old, much less a 48-year-old like myself. Because the fact that he was able to write something and not know about life and about relationships and about just the stuff that you learn as you grow and survive this planet is amazing. So my first couple books, I wrote about the South. I wrote about relationships. I wrote about, you know, some of the people I met, you know. I didn't find it necessary to write about my military past. And so I just didn't do it. So, and frankly, the more I wrote, it just never occurred to me to write something like that until Brendan Dineen from Thomas Dunn Books sent me an email and said, "What do you think of this?" And I'm like, "Oh, I can do that."
That's great. Well, what initially got you interested in writing? I mean, have you always been interested in writing? And what led you to sitting down and writing your first stories?
You know, Jeff, I've always wanted to write. The first thing I ever wrote was in third grade, a story called What Became of Charlie, about a kid whose mother told him not to take shortcuts to school. He didn't listen to her, and he was eaten by a bear. The only problem with that is that the school magazine, which was the Panther Press, I still have a copy of it, stapled together, was recalled by the parents and the PTA because I was too violent in my descriptions of little Charlie getting dismembered by this bear. And I didn't write again until I was in my 30s. I don't know if I was traumatized or what, but once I turned 30, I thought about all the things I had done that I didn't want to do and all the things that I hadn't done that I wanted to do. And I decided that writing is one of the things that I wanted to do that I had stopped doing. And I decided I needed to do it. So I didn't have a degree in anything except life. And I sat down. It took me a month to write my first short story. I wrote it. I edited it as best I could. I sent it out to Weird Tales magazine because they were the top best magazine. And I got a 7-page rejection letter. And attached to that was a 5-page submission guideline. So the entirety of the rejection was longer than my actual story. And in that rejection, Gerald Schweitzer, who's now a friend of mine, told me that I had repeated obsessive misuse of antecedents to a pronoun. And I remember thinking to myself, my God, I do. What is that? I have no idea what he's talking about. So I called my mom, and my mom explained to me what an antecedent to a pronoun was. And, you know, I got better as I went along. Luckily, I had written a lot of stories. I probably put about 200,000 words behind me before my first short story was published. So I was able to get through a lot of my lack of knowledge. And eventually, you know, I went and I got a degree in writing. And now I have a Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. And I think every little bit has helped. But it was that turning 30, I think, that really stimulated where I am now and the idea of get off your ass and do those things you wanted to do instead of, you know, just thinking about them.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Sure, sure. Well, I know your first novel won the Stoker in 2005, and we're recording this now in 2013 with the success of SEAL Team 666. Are there lessons you've learned along the way, as you just described, once you started and at age 30, are there lessons you've learned along the way in terms of staying published and keeping your career moving forward?
Well, Tom Piccirilli taught me that the single way to keep your career moving forward is to continue writing quality fiction. And so that's the one thing I try and do. The marketing aspect, though, of yourself and of your work, that's another thing. I'm always kind of a two steps forward, one step backward kind of guy. I can't help but put my foot in my mouth every now and then, and I can't help but, you know, stumble, even when I seem to be about to cross the finish line. But all that said, knock on wood, I really think that having a great attitude and trying to master the craft and continue to put as much quality out there as possible is really just my secret.
Sure. And what advice do you have for aspiring writers who may be listening in terms of trying to get their own stories or novels published? Any advice?
Well, I give out a lot of writing advice because I do a lot of signings and appearances at bookstores and libraries. And when I always invariably meet somebody who's working there who wants to be a writer and they just don't have enough time. And of course, I explain to them that not only do I have a 9-to-5 job, but I get deployed to Afghanistan and I still am able to write 2 novels a year and 12 to 15 short stories and essays a year. So I don't understand how they can't do it. And the reason is because it's kind of like when you're running, you know, when you first start to run, you start thinking about how far the finish line is away, and it just sucks the life right out of you. Well, that's the same thing in writing. I love to invoke Tom Piccirilli again because a bunch of us, we called each other the cabal. We kind of grew up as writers sitting at the feet of Tom Piccirilli in the Horonet chat room back in the late 90s. Me and Brian Keene and Mikey Hike and a whole bunch of guys, you know, were not even published and we're getting advice from people like Tom. And his guidance to me was write 5 pages a day. You write 5 pages a day and just concentrate on doing that. And you have a novel in 3 months. And you do. I've written novels in 3 months that way. My advice to new writers is write 1 page a day. Everybody has time to write a page a day. I don't care how busy you are. And, if you think about it, at the end of a year, you'll have a finished novel. Just 1 page a day. That's all you have to do. And suddenly you go from being someone who's wanted to write to someone who's written.
Sure. Sure. That's great advice. So you just mentioned you were stationed in Afghanistan. Were you writing while you were there?
Oh yeah, I had to do the final edits on Age of Blood, and I had to finish a novel for Solaris, the science fiction paperback publisher based in England.
Sure. And what's that novel going to be?
That novel is called Grunt Life. It's the first of a series, and it's a military fiction, but this is military science fiction, and it has to do with a group of grunts. And grunts are kind of like infantrymen, you know, those core soldiers who you know, you point at a hill and you say, take that hill. A group of infantrymen who are basically standing at the end of the world, the only people able to save it when the aliens invade. And it's I don't know, it's pretty excited. I enjoyed writing that because not only was I writing about how soldiers feel and operate together and work together and fight together and think, but I was in Afghanistan where people were actually doing that.
Sure. And is that, you said, is that the first of a new series for you?
Yeah, it is. I drive my agent crazy because I tell him I want work. I want lots of work. I don't care if you think I have too much or too little. I want more because I love writing. And if I have too much writing, well, then I'll cut out other things, you know, like, I don't know, sleep, whatever. I mean, if I can write full time, that's great.
That's great. Well, what books and authors have you read lately that you would recommend or mention? Anything come to mind?
Well, it does. You have to understand, I read a lot outside my genre. I read probably...
That's fine. Anything, nonfiction, fiction, whatever.
Well, within the genre, my favorite three authors in science fiction are Joe Haldeman, and Robert Heinlein, and Ray Bradbury. And I read those all the time. Klein's book, Ready Player One, that just came out, is a near future science fiction. Just amazing book. Just amazing. Adam Neville is a up and coming horror author out of England, and he's starting to get published here. He is wonderful. If anything I can find from Adam Neville is something I will grab in a second.
That's great. That's a new one for me. So I'll look him up.
I like him. I like him as much as I like Sarah Bingham. Like, I like Sarah's work a lot. There's a new author that I discovered. I was in Afghanistan. It was late at night. I was tired of reading in the genre, and I wanted something that wasn't genre, something, you know, literary slash popular fiction. And I stumbled across a book called Night Film by Marisha Pessel, I think is her name. And it was her second book. And it had great reviews. And so I bought it. And I got to tell you, it's the best book I read all year. It's an amazing book, Night Film. You know, it'll be a movie one of these days. And when it, when it is, I can say that I was in Afghanistan reading that book, but it's a fantastic book. The fact that that's her second book and it was written so well and it carried me and caught me and transported me. It's just, I'm so envious of her talent. She's so good.
That's wonderful. I've read reviews of that. So yeah, that's a great recommendation. So you mentioned Grunt Life. What are you working on now?
Well, I have to turn in an outline for the third SEAL Team 666 book. And I have a V-Wars novella I have to write. I have a couple short stories that I've been asked to write about 6 or 7 months ago that are coming up due in November, January, and December. So I'll be writing, doing the outlines and doing those stories here in the next 3 months.
Great. Well, where can people find you online if they're interested in learning more about you and your books?
Well, you know, I'm really heavily on Facebook, so they can always find me on Facebook. I also have my own website, and it's westonoaks.com. The trick is knowing how to spell my last name, and it's O-C-H-S-E, which is not always thought of. Or they can find me on Twitter. I mean, whether or not it's Twitter or it's Facebook or it's my blog, I always respond. I'm a very extrovert person, and I like dealing with people almost as much as I like writing.
Great. And I'll have links to those in the show notes. So great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Weston Oaks, the author of Age of Blood, a SEAL Team 666 novel. The novel is in bookstores now, so definitely grab a copy. And as we mentioned earlier, it's going to be a movie. And Weston, thanks for doing this interview.
Oh, Jeff, thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.